What does BP get for firing its boss?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're nearing 100 days since the oil disaster in the Gulf of Mexico began. Right now, we're going to ask today's big question. It's about what the British oil giant BP can accomplish by ousting its CEO, Tony Hayward. That's what reports are saying this morning, that Hayward is about to be out as the chief there, and a successor could be in place soon. Peter Cohen is a management consultant. He's with us live from suburban Boston. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Steve.
So what does BP get from getting rid of Tony Hayward?
They get rid of a lightning rod for criticism of BP's ineptitude in the Gulf.
Okay. And the strategy going forward?
Exxon, they need to do what Exxon did after the Valdez spill, which was totally change its culture away from cost-cutting and towards a relentless focus on safety and good corporate governance. Exxon pulled it off, and I think that may be possible for BP.
Exxon pulled it off, but this is, I mean, this is a totally different situation in the Gulf, right?
Oh, it is, but what got Exxon into the situation was a somewhat lax attitude towards safety. And what it did after that accident was totally reexamined all its processes from the top down to make sure that something like that wouldn't happen again. And when they put Bob Dudley in there, who's the likely successor to Hayward, he will bring a focus, a relentless focus on good corporate governance. I wrote about this in my book, Capital Rising. Dudley ran BP's joint venture with Russia's TNK. He fought an ultimately losing battle to improve corporate governance there, but he is very, very focused on corporate governance and doing things the right way. And if he becomes CEO, he will be able to bring that kind of leadership to BP and hopefully over the long term improve BP and make it a better managed company.
Is there anything, though, Peter, any skeletons in his closet?
No, there are no skeletons in his closet. He is a very upright citizen, and I think he would be a good choice.
All right, Peter Cohen, management consultant from suburban Boston, Mass. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, shares of BP a little higher trading in London today, about 2.25%. Markets in Europe, however, are lower. Shares are off under 0.5% on the continent right now. Markets closed mostly higher in Asia, helped by a positive report on Japanese exports there. Wall Street Friday, markets added about 1%. The Dow was up 102 points to close at 10,424. For the week, everyone added somewhere between 3 and 4%. Today, libraries in Los Angeles County, California, are cutting hours. Also today, fewer bus routes are going on in Phoenix, and other cities are planning to raise the rates for public transit, all part of local areas across the country slashing budgets. But that's not the worst of it, as Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
It seems that no form of city funding is safe. Property taxes have dropped, along with housing values, and consumer spending is down, which hurts a city's sales taxes.
Almost all local revenues are being affected in some way.
That's Chris Haney with the National League of Cities. He says an overwhelming majority of American cities are cutting staff.
If they don't have the personnel there, they can't run the transit service, they can't staff the libraries, and they're closing libraries and recreation centers. So it translates into visible service cuts.
In some cases, the cuts are more than visible. They're potentially dangerous.
We're at the point where cities are making cuts in police and firefighters.
Budget cuts come with a silver lining for some bus riders in Scottsdale, Arizona. The city hired a new contractor for one route. It saves money by not charging fares. Apparently, the expense of collecting and counting fares outweighs the profit. So the bus ride is now free. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia.
We're still awaiting word on what the National Hockey League Players Association proposes about Ilya Kovalchuk's contract. The league rejected the New Jersey Devils' offer to keep the 27-year-old star forward in an historic 17-year deal. Now, that deal front-loads most of the money in the contract period so the team doesn't break its salary cap. Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan says it's just another way of going overboard in the financial games being played in sports. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
Going overboard, I thought, was supposed to be sort of paired by these salary caps that are in certain sports. Why isn't that working?
Well, because it's wonderful. It's like looking at Wall Street. because you have these salary caps, but the teams figure out ways around the caps, and it turns out there's a whole kind of specialist called a capologist. I love that name. And the capologists figure out ways to deal with the salary cap and still get what you want.
For example?
Oh, for example, we have this guy, Kovalchuk, and over 12 years, he's making, I think, $95 million. It's $8 million a year. But the last 5 years, he gets paid almost nothing, so the number drops to six.
So his average salary will be under the cap. I get that. But Alan, come on. This is America, and we want our teams to do well. Are there any downsides to all this manipulating?
Well, there are if you care about competitive balance and home teams being able to hold players. But, hey, I'm from New York, okay? I grew up in Brooklyn rooting for the New York Yankees. I'm a classic front runner. I'm saying this with a big smile because I don't want to be stoned. But what I care about is if my teams can get the players they need to win and let the other players and teams take care of themselves.
So what's the moral of the story, Alan?
That numbers are numbers in sports land, just like on Wall Street. You don't necessarily believe what they're showing you.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us from New York. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
And finally, if in your business travels you've ever been to a strange town, chances are you could have used a friend. Rentafriend.com is strictly platonic and charges anywhere from $20 to $50 an hour for someone to show you around or to join you at dinner. In which case, you and your new friend are left to answer another big question: who picks up the tab? Check us out online. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. And you can follow me on Twitter as well. I'm tweeting at Chiatakis MMR in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.